Hey everyone, welcome back at We Watch Stuff. This is episode 13. I'm going low key with the intro this week for some reason. A little later than normal because apparently two grown men, people, persons, whatever, can't get verbiage or a schedule correct. So here we are on a Friday or a Thursday night, depending on when you listen to this. So there you go. So, good evening, afternoon, Shahid. How are you?
I'm fine. Sorry about our schedule conflict. My sundial was on the fritz.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I was about to say, should we blame Ra for that? But did the Egyptians have sundials?
They probably invented sundials, for all we know. So I know they had to have it. Yeah, that and my papyrus calendar got wet. So we just got our days mixed up and times mixed up.
Papyrus? Is that like the shell of a papyra? I don't even know what that is. I've heard of it.
Origins, what people use before paper to write on.
Walls?
No, it's a... I mean,
when the aliens taught people how to write and take records of everything.
Lug around. If you couldn't lug around a wall everywhere you went, you want to write something portable. Look at papyrus as the original iPad, if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, okay. Well, then what would an abacus be? An iPod?
Soon that'd be a Texas Instruments calculator.
Oh, see, I was actually going to say, was that the original Palm Pilot? just an introduction. Damn it, there was something else I was going to ask about that, but oh well, it doesn't matter. Oh, that was one thing. You ever notice, like, whenever they talk about hieroglyphics and, like, cave paintings and all that stuff, everything has a deep meaning? Like, you couldn't just find the one with, like, the guy just writing stupid shit on the walls?
Yeah.
Everything has to have a deep meaning. It's like, nah, boy. Wow. All right. I'm pulling up.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, the boss is calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yesterday, but time constraints.
Mm-hmm. I can say whatever I want because he can't talk back right now. So.
Yeah, give me a state bowl.
Like wasting thousands of dollars to go to WrestleMania for a no match card.
Don't you start with.
But he'll be close at least, you know.
Sometimes you just gotta roll the dice and hope for the best.
apparently someone's done with his food order so we can continue the show.
Okay, like I said, I tried to kind of slip it in and he's there to pick up everything.
Oh yeah. All right, so anyways, actually that kind of does bring us into where we were sort of at last week. Last week we've been talking about the different comics movies that are coming out, and we covered just the sheer amount of them, and if it's possible that, you know, maybe this is getting to the, I don't want to say jump in the shark area, but
I think it's skateboarding on the top of a damn shark, jumping the shark.
Yeah, it's really getting to the point. I think it was, we were calling it overboard or oversaturating the market. And we're going to start, I mean, for those who don't know, we posted it on episode 12, a picture from Comics Alliance about all the movies coming out. Now, that was a week or two ago, so that some may have been jostled around, some may be added. We're going to focus specifically on the Fox movies right now, because over the past week since episode 12, more's come out about the Fantastic Four movie from Fox.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, you saw, I'm not going to say the original, but you saw the second version of the Fantastic Four movies, right?
Yes, both one. I actually went to the movie theater for both of them, matter of fact.
Yeah, so did I. But I got free tickets for the second one, so I didn't feel so bad.
Okay.
I didn't really like either one of those.
The first one was okay. The second one just seemed like it could have been a whole lot better. Like, they had a great idea, just messed it up. So
what got messed? What part of those that got messed up? I think I already know.
How they handled Silver Surfer and Galactus, like that whole story. It just shows, like, and I think even the director brought it up. He said his issue was he wasn't comfortable being, you know, doing action scenes, so he didn't. He just left that to the action people.
Yeah,
he just don't focus on that. And it's kind of like if you're doing a movie with a lot of action and you don't know how to do action, and the person you trust doesn't know how to do action, you're going to have a problem.
Well, I'm trying to think. The director was Tim Story.
Yes,
and.
Oh,
I'm trying to figure out. There you go, internet. Maybe yes. I hit. Okay, so on IMDb, you put in Tim Story, and it says director, Fantastic Four. So let's go over his filmography real quick and see if that's what you want to pop up first, because I'm pretty sure it's not. Let's see. Oh, he did Ride Along. Great. That wasn't good. Okay, so he was responsible for a movie called One of Us Tripped. I'm guessing by the title, and I'm right. So let's see what else we've got here. The Firing Squad, Barbershop.
Yes.
That was... So if you're a Fox executive way back then, not to, you know, go over past history, but the studio's the same, so this does have some relevance to now. You're the studio, and you see a guy that made One of Us Tripped... The Firing Squad, Barbershop, which did really big business. The movie Taxi, not Taxi Driver, but Taxi.
The remake.
And then someone goes, I know, we've got Fantastic Four. We have to make a movie. Who's a good director to get? Tim Story. That makes perfect sense. Let's get him. That's how the conversation went.
Well, to be fair, there was a chase scene in Taxi with Giselle Bundchen, and I think there was like a 5-second fight scene in Barbershop. So almost the same thing.
Yes, almost the same thing. You're exactly right. Yes. So Fantastic Four, the original one, sucked. And then he did a TV series, and they tapped him to do Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, which was even possibly worse. And this is actually a comic book thing for bad comic book movies. The main bad guy was a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kiss of death in this movie, and it was also the kiss of death in Green Lantern.
Not even, at least in Green Lantern, the cloud had some speed. If that makes any better. Like, so, you know, the cloud in the Silver Surfer movie was just there with one magic arm.
Which only teased you thinking Galactus was actually going to pop out of the cloud. But no, it was just an arm. So, moving forward, there's been nothing on the Fantastic Four front since. There was never a hint of a sequel, a third, I don't believe. Nor should there have been. So, Fox realizes they're going to lose the rights. We got to get a movie going. And a young man named Josh Trank makes a pretty decent movie, actually, Chronicle.
Yes.
You know, doing all the first-person stuff. And, you know, story came to a definitive end, which was kind of nice. I mean, if you discount that last scene. But they tap him to make Fantastic Four. You know, all right, so far, so good. And that's where it ends. And just as a fan, and even as a fan for myself, I'm not that into the Fantastic Four. So they can take liberties all they want, I guess, unless, as you know, it was, we've talked before, as long as they keep the core character, core of the character, everything's fine.
Yeah, but it's taking, there's one thing to take liberties as long as it fits the story. There's another thing to say, you know what, let's just take the names and just do whatever the hell we want with it. And not even take the names. Like, this is... You remember what you saw about the Fantastic Four? Forget all of that.
Yeah.
You just got four people. Just remember that part and forget everything else, because we're not going to do us... We're going to take superheroes. We're not going to do a superhero story. We're going to have it grounded, because definitely when I think about the Fantastic Four, I think about gritty realism. That's the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where to begin with the movie here, because they have from what slow... All right, first, you know the studio has no confidence in this movie. The Avengers doesn't come out until... Was it April of next year? Oops, where did my picture go here? You've got the Avengers that comes out on May 1st, and you have Ant-Man that comes out on July 17th. And even Ant-Man, a movie that no one really cares about, except that it's under Marvel, and they're going to work it into the Avengers somehow. They're slowly releasing still photos of that, plot synopsis, all that sort of stuff for it. Everything's coming out already. Fantastic Four, well, even though it comes out after these, it comes out on August 7th. There hasn't been one shred of evidence this movie actually exists.
Oh, you're not discounting the story about the villain? That's one evidence that maybe should have been shredded.
And there we go. Now we can get moving. Because this week it came out from the actor playing... what's his name?
It's not what you thought it was.
No, and that's what's tripping me up. The actor that's supposed to play... Oh, Jesus, it's actually updated on IMDb. The actor playing Dr. Doom, Toby Cabell, let it leak that Dr. Doom is not a dictator in... Oh, no, I'm actually drawing a blank on.
His name isn't even Dr. Doom anymore.
Well, what the hell is Dr. Doom the dictator of?
Latveria.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's no longer the villainous despot dictator of Latveria, nor is he even from another country. His name now is Viktor Damashev. And...
Keep going.
Okay, so you know what? That's okay. Viktor Von Doom is honestly like a James Bond villain sort of name. You know, the Van Traps from Sound of Music, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Anyone else? It's just an antiquated name. So changing the last name to Damashev, okay, it sounds weird, but you can still get Doom from it. You can still get Dr. Doom from it, right? Well, no, because this guy is going to be a blogger. An angry blogger.
Is there any comment you can make? I mean, that just speaks for itself.
That's why I preface this with, I'm not a huge fan of the Fantastic Four. And I even sent it to Kevin going, I don't even know what to say.
Well,
this just sounds terrible.
I want to say this. I'm not a fan of Fantastic Four per se. I'm a big fan of Doctor Doom because that's like one of the biggest like Marvel villains, period.
He screwed with everybody in the Marvel universe. Yeah.
From Fantastic Four to Spider-Man to the X-Men to like he gets around and he's like, you know, important.
Yeah.
And it's the whole story, just, you know, a master of science and a master of magic, like, and then just, you know, ego off the wall and still, you know, a beloved dictator, if that makes sense. That's also a villain, if that makes sense. And that's basically how it's portrayed. The name change, like I said, whatever. I'm not a fan of name change, it's fine. An angry blogger. Wait, he's going to tweet Mr. Fantastic to a fight. Like,
oh, God damn. I didn't even think of something like that.
I mean, seriously, like, I know they're trying to, I know the director said we want to take it grounded. We don't want to have a superhero movie. We want to make it more realistic and everything. Don't do the Fantastic Four. And that's where Marvel gets it. And that seems like no one else gets it. Like, if you're going to make a comic book movie, make a comic book movie. Like, embrace what makes it. That's what Guardians of the Galaxy did. They knew it was goofy. It's like, okay, you got a raccoon, a talking tree, and all this weird shit. Fine. We just going to go all out. You either like it or don't like it. Don't try to take it, you know, to be something that's not. It's like Fantastic Four. Everybody wants to be Batman. Basically, we got to make everything realistic and we're going to ground. I didn't even mind the whole Michael B. Jordan's black and Kate Mara's not, and yet they're family because whatever.
Okay, That's actually another thing that sort of leaked out, but the Doctor Doom stuff has overshadowed it. How that plays out is the dad, Franklin Storm, you know, the dad?
Yeah.
He's actually a black guy. So Sue Storm is adopted.
What the f...
Now, that's what came out, but I'm thinking that just doesn't sound right. Which, I mean, of course, you know, Dr. Doom's a blogger, so whatever. But I'm almost wondering if they're going to make it like a Brady Bunch sort of thing. To where she was married before, he was married before, and now they've got this little 2000s interracial Brady Bunch sort of thing going on.
You know, I'm all about progressive things, and I kind of laugh because usually it'll be the other way around. Like, of course, the little black child will be adopted.
I thought that too, yeah.
So to have Sue Storm be, because people don't, that's the thing. For all the talk of that, people really don't pay attention to adoption. There's no way in hell that they're going to let a black man adopt a white girl in America.
Unless, you know, you never know. They could have had a strong story and a backstory with, like, family, friends, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, that happens in movies. Like, you know, that happens to Steve Martin, basically. And that's the only time this ever happened.
Well, don't forget The Flash right now, though, is kind of going through the same thing.
Okay, well, that's because that, you know.
But he didn't adopt him, though. Yeah. That was the thing. He took him in, and that was different. So, yeah. Another thing that's kind of worrisome. So, all right, so you've changed the fundamental of family. So, I guess they're going to try and redefine family for the 21st century? 22nd.
21st.
Okay. For the 21st century. This is now how family is. Which, actually, I'm kind of hoping that they were married and one kid came out black and one kid came out white. I think that would be even better.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, just...
this movie.
So... what...
Look, you're trying to make sense of something that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I'm actually trying to pull a positive out of this, and that's why I got stumped. You can usually find a positive in something even at the most, especially, you know, me. I always try and play the other side for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. I don't see how this works. I mean, and I'm looking at the cast, actually. The cast has Sue Storm, Victor Damashev, Mr. Fantastic, The Thing, Human Torch. And then it's got a bunch of nobodies. So either that's a play on them keeping the information about this movie secret, or are we going to get Chronicle 2, but with the Fantastic Four? And that's a serious question, actually.
I guess we will find out, because the cast is talented. I just don't seem like it's... If they just played it straight like a superhero movie, it would probably be fine. But they're just trying to turn it into, I don't know what they're trying to do. Like, we want to do something different to be noticed. Don't do that with the Fantastic Four. Like, this, like, if you want to be real realistic, you want to be canon, yeah, have Mr. Fantastic smack Sue around like he used to do in the 60s. Otherwise, don't even go that route.
When did Mr. Fantastic smack around Sue Storm? Oh,
Mr. Fantastic used to be the Ike Turner of Marvel Comics, because Sue would butt her nose in his business, and instead of talking out, he would give her the old five fingers to the face. Shut up, Sue. I'm working. Yeah, Ant-Man's not the only woman beater that runs.
Oh, my God.
Google it.
And that's where that came from, actually.
Yes. I remember reading about that.
I gotta turn my I gotta turn my filter off. Holy shit! There's some really gross stuff that popped up all of a sudden. All right, let's just there we go. Okay, well, I've got a picture of Sue Storm smacking Mr. Fantastic. All right. Wow, Mr. Fantastic smacking his kid. Oh, there you go, Susan. I said shut up. Smack across. She does have a mullet, so. That's 50% wrong. That's 50% wrong. Let's see. That's a chick taking one where she's not supposed to. A guy drinking Jaeger.
What type of filter you had?
Okay, now wait a minute. He said he smacked Sue around when she was a bad guy.
I'm not counting that.
All right, so let's go move on to the next one. The kid smacking the kid again, smacking her again. Yellow jacket smacking the chick. I'm not sure why that's in here.
Like I said, so when I hear about canon, I'm like, you know, canon spreads a long time.
Oh my god! All right, I'm just I didn't turn my filter off, and I'm glad I didn't because now I've seen something I've never seen before. So, So,
I'm afraid to even Google that myself because my filter is off as well.
Well, I always forget to turn the filter back on when I go to work, so I'll put something in there, and I'm like, ah, crap. But I've now seen an Asian lady having hot sauce poured on her private areas.
What the hell does that have to do with Sue? I don't, you know
Sue
what?
Slap, I guess. Maybe that's her name. But they were pouring Tabasco right on the nether regions, and she didn't seem to be enjoying it at all. So don't try that at home, I guess. All right, so we've resoundingly kind of crapped on this movie without seeing an ounce of footage, but only hearing certain, you know, plot points, whatever.
Usually I'm the one that's like, you know, give it a chance, but it's kind of like you have to give me a reason to give it a chance, and they have not. The more, like you said, the more info has come out, the more it's like, I'll wait for Netflix.
Basically. What I'm trying to do now is look up Fox releases. That's exactly what I'm doing. I've just based off of, you know.
Yeah, they just need to stick to X-Men and just do that. Let Fantastic Four go.
Well, they're already working or doing a mock-up for a sequel already. It's like, well, slow your roll, because on the picture we have, and it's through IMDb as well, Fantastic Four 2 is scheduled for 2017 on July 14th.
I'll catch that right after Green Lantern 2 or Ryan Reynolds.
Well, it actually comes out, according to this, it would come out 2-3 weeks after Wonder Woman. So, but all right, so... Fox distribution right now, and we are in, what is this? It's November. They've got Penguins of Madagascar coming out on the 26th. These are all for December next. The Pyramid, Exodus, Gods and Kings, which to me looks like a comedy. You're in the Middle East during biblical times, and they're all white guys? Okay, it's got to be like History of the World Part 1 and 2.
Oh, that's a good old Hollywood.
Yeah. You've got Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. That's December. Then they release Taken 3 in January, Kingsman Secret Service in February.
They actually got pushed back. That's what will come out this past summer.
I thought so.
Yeah, they got pushed.
And the reason I'm going over this is, you know, the Avengers has already had two different trailers come up, and that comes out next year. Mm-hmm. They've released like a small teaser about Batman Superman, but that was never supposed to leak anyways. You've seen Ant-Man footage come up. No Fantastic Four footage at all. They really don't have a tentpole movie to put it in front of if they're going to release some sort of trailer, even a teaser. The only one I can figure out would maybe be Night at the Museum or Taken 3.
It would make sense to do Taken 3 if you don't want to go that route.
Okay. So they're going to wait till January when people, you know, historically don't see movies on a grand scale because all the Oscar bait's out. Mm-hmm. To put up their biggest tentpole movie of the summer. I mean,
if you're going to do it any movie in that time frame, people will go see Taken because Liam Neeson, man, it's Taken, and their previews actually been like half decent. So,
No, that Taken 3 trailer is incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, he takes out the front landing gear on a plane with a BMW. Yeah, I'm there for that. So, I don't see where it fits in to where you've got your big tentpole movie, and you're gonna wait till January when your competition, who's ultra successful with everything, is already putting stuff out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something about Batman Superman in front of The Hobbit that comes out in December.
Yeah.
Even though it's a year away. So to me, that kind of tells me that the studio doesn't have confidence in this either. In this day and age, nothing leaks.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised?
Okay, and I broached this with you as well. Do you think this is all subterfuge? That these actors are purposely saying all this stuff just so that people get thrown off the scent?
You don't. I would normally say okay, but you normally you wouldn't go and piss off a bunch of people. Like, yeah, think about all the stuff you like about Fantastic Four. We're not going to do any of that shit. We're going to do all this stuff that you would complain about, but come watch our movie anyway, just in case. No, I'm like, if you're going to invite me to a party, like, it's like you invite me to a party and say, oh, it's going to be a clan rally, and it's really just a masquerade ball, and then you're surprised I didn't show up. Oh, it was just a joke. No, it's, if you're going to do that, do it in a way, you know, have it intrigued. Like, Interstellar is a good point, because that just came out. If you watch the trailers for those movies, it basically just talks about the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
And you see, like, bits and pieces. Like, you can see the trailer and not know what's going on after, like, the 30-minute mark. And that helps because it just lets you enjoy the movie. It's enough to bring you in, but doesn't spoil the movie. All this stuff that's come out about Fantastic Four is making me... I just want to skip it.
Yeah. So you're... All right. So you're saying no, then, that this is actually...
Well, you... I hope. I mean, if that's what they're doing, they need to fire whoever came up with that idea because they're doing that. They're doing the absolute opposite of how to do that correctly.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, and this kind of moves in with the trailer part, to where, you know, they've got all this negative attention, negativity surrounding it, and then they come out with this trailer that they're all in the blue and white suits. He announces himself as Dr. Doom. He has the fist bolts and all that stuff. And the entire crowd just left cheering, like, oh my God, it's a real Fantastic Four movie. And then almost like they've lowered expectations so bad that anything that closely resembles a Fantastic Four will get a positive reaction. And we're strictly speaking for comics fans and like that culture of fans, because my dad has no clue that this movie's even coming out, which is another bad thing, because that's the audience you want. But so I know Fox is a poorly run studio. They've gotten lucky with these X-Men movies, which we're going to get into next, just so in case, you know, you're ready to go, all right, enough. I just can't see a studio that runs, operates, loses millions, possibly billions of dollars can be this bad or be that inept unless there's some ultra bad blood between them and Marvel. And even then, why would you risk a property that, if done correctly, could make you money for the foreseeable future?
Hollywood people, they, as much as they love money, they love ego. And they love walking around swinging a sack around.
But you're all, but I mean, I mean, you're not wrong. So, but you're, if you bomb this, you're losing out on all this marketing money as well. And that's all these things come out for. I mean, hell, the G.I. Joe movie wasn't even out and the toys were out two months ahead of time. And then they pushed it back and all the toys disappeared and then came right back. I mean, with the Fantastic Four, you've got colorful figures. You got an orange guy that's dressed up in little blue panties. You've got a guy that's green and silver that looks like a robot. You know, kids are immediately going to flock to that stuff. So to risk messing that up this poorly, it's kind of a hard concept to even wrap your head around.
It wouldn't be the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. Like, you know, everything you said makes sense, but everything we've heard about the movie makes no sense.
No. Well, I get the feeling the next bit of information we'll have is a trailer leak, or a trailer will be out, or trailer, something like that.
I'm just waiting for them to make Sue Storm a lesbian, just to add some more spice to it, because why not?
Well, how does Franklin Richards come into the picture then? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, you know what? They could find a donor. All right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, let's get into something positive, hopefully. Because I don't think, as bad as this is going to sound, I don't think we've covered any new ground on Fantastic Four other than the financial part.
There's really nothing to cover.
Yeah, it's just a shake in your head sort of thing. It's like, yeah, never mind, it's a hack joke. So,
look, I mean, when you see an armadillo hump a volleyball, it doesn't take up. How much analysis can you really do? You want to see it, you want to shake your head, you want to keep walking.
I don't know. That I'm thinking an armadillo volleyball. I'd probably stop for a little bit because it'd be pretty damn funny to see.
Well, that's what we did because we spent about 30 minutes talking about this.
Oh, shit. All right. My bad, everyone. All right. So let's get into the X-Men side with Fox. They already ruined this franchise once. How it ever came back to life is beyond me. Because X-Men 3, Wolverine's Origin, whatever it was called, garbage movies.
Yes.
Just total garbage. So they come out with a very small X-Men movie in X-Men First Class, which was pretty fun. It gets popular, and they run off the director. So Bryan Singer comes back in like a hero. X-Men Days of Future Past makes a shitload of money, reboots everything.
Made a lot of money. I think it was like second or third global this year.
Yeah.
So far, yeah.
But the problem is it rebooted everything. So even the Wolverine movie that just came out doesn't matter anymore.
Well, that one kind of, and I'm probably a bigger fan of it than yours. That really was like a standalone story anyway, which was kind of refreshing in today's age.
Yeah, if they would have cut the Jean stuff out, it would have been meshed perfectly. It meshes with what you said perfectly. It would have been a total standalone movie. You know, all he had to do was say, I lost somebody, and then kept going on. That was it.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
His love of Jean.
Yeah.
I hung out and ate a sandwich 2 times.
Well, no, remember he had the killer at the end of X-Men 3. So, you know, once he pronounced his love, he put his Snicks in her. So,
as he goes.
Yeah. But Fox has got this X-Men franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But X-Men Apocalypse isn't the first movie that comes out. In February of 2016, February 12th, the Perfect Valentine's Day movie comes out in Deadpool. They need to make, and we talked about this briefly, but Deadpool has to be a standalone movie that's rated R just to show some diversity for the superhero genre. Blade was an R-rated movie. It worked, made a lot of money.
They're not going to go there anymore. I mean, people want to. Like, Hugh Jackman wanted the Wolverine to be R. And, like, the unrated version is basically a hard R movie. And it's a lot. Even though they didn't really add too much. And blood makes so much of a difference. Like, how you going to have Wolverine and it's PG-13? You know, and they talked about it's like the studio will not go that R route. It's like it's too much money involved. They feel like it just cuts too much of the fan base off, even if the story – it's like they forgot Blade. You know, you could do it Blade because Blaze, you know, who cares and everything like that, even though Blade started this whole thing off. But it's like now it's like the stakes are too high, so even something that's – there's no such thing as a small scale either. You're going to be big or you're going to be on Netflix.
Okay, now see, all right, that's where I'm going to disagree with you on this one. Because Deadpool would be a perfect small movie. Because name me a successful Ryan Reynolds movie.
I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I'm saying they're looking at it like it wouldn't work.
Well,
studios are kind of... Because look, when's the last small-scale comic movie? What, the Punisher Warzone? Like, even Ghost Rider, they threw a lot of money at. And those movies and Ghost Rider wasn't a big deal. So, yeah.
I was about to say this is where the studio could really smarten up, and then I forgot what studio we're talking about. So, honestly, I think in the hands of Marvel, which is actually Disney now, so that wouldn't work either. So, it just seems the superhero genre It has the potential to actually broaden itself at the theater. Now, Deadpool's a violent character. He's the merc with a mouth. You can clean up the language as long as they don't use butt, like crap and that sort of stuff, like they do in wrestling now.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with, like, innuendo, little wink nods, like, yeah, this is this. You could get a PG-13 movie out of it language-wise, but violence-wise with Deadpool, I don't know.
I mean, you can go the Christopher Nolan route, because all his Batman movies are, like, really R movies, except for they took the blood out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a damn what anybody says. Those are some foul-ass movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of like, they don't... You could do it, but maybe I think they're just afraid. But it's like, if you're afraid to do it, then don't even go there. Like, you can't do a PG-13 Deadpool movie. It's just like, no. I mean, you can try, and I know it's PG-13. You can say that you can curse like 3 times. Or no, you can curse once. Certain curse words you can use once, and other ones you can use, you know, 4 or 5 times and everything. Don't show any nipples. Don't show females enjoying orgasms, and you're fine. You can shoot somebody in the face all you want, as long as no blood.
Yeah, and when did that rule with the nipples change, by the way? Because I remember that was the big thing when PG-13 came out, that you could say fuck once and show titties real quick, not like a sexual way, but you could just show them. Then it became you could say fuck twice as long as there's no titties. Then it was you can say fuck once, period. And I'm like, wait, what happened to the titties?
I don't know. You can side, you can't show any nipple.
Yeah, because what was it? Police Academy 2 was one of the first ones that did that. They made the sequel PG-13 instead of R-rated. And they immediately had some sort of titties in the beginning. Just to show you, see, we still got an edge, and then nothing the rest of the time. Oof. Why I remember that, I don't know. But I do. So.
But no, to go back to Deadpool, it's like, if it was in the 90s, like during the time of Blade, like that, they probably would have went that route. Or even like, you know, during the time when Marvel Knights, and I know we say kind of, you know, Disney wouldn't go that route, but they're talking about how the Netflix show is going to be a lot darker than the normal Marvel stuff. And even if you watch, I'm probably going to talk about too much, even if you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. this year, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of goes there. It's not, you know, R, but it's kind of like, you know, a hard PG-13.
Yeah,
as much as you're going to see it like on ABC, you know, at like a weeknight on a Tuesday. So I don't know if they ever go like raunch yard, but they would kind of go enough where it's an edge to it. I know this is Ryan Reynolds' kind of like, you know, dream project, and if they let him do it, it would fit. Like, he wanted to do an R movie, and the script they did was R, but comic book people, they, like we talked about, they're just narrow focus. Like, everything has to be this big cuddly franchise that can sell toys on, and you can't be saying fuck around a bunch of 9-year-olds and show them nipples, because they're going to become insane somehow.
All right, I just thought of this. What if they film the movie R-rated and they bleep him out? Because he's a meta character. He breaks the fourth wall. Like, obviously, you don't have to have a character swearing left and right, okay? Mm-hmm. But just at those situations where, you know, he would be angry enough to say fuck or something like that, bleep it out and even have him acknowledge it. Like,
man, you could. Transformers, they did that in the last Transformers movie. So, I mean, you can take that route. It would definitely fit the character and it would fit the story, because it's Mr., you know, break the fourth wall and everything. Yeah. And so why not? And it would probably get like a – people that would tend to see that movie would probably appreciate that, because they would get the joke.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm actually thinking that's not a bad idea. And then even like the – even if they got like ultra-violent, he could just be like, well, this is where I'm not allowed to show you something, or they can at least acknowledge it. Maybe there is a possibility for this to be PG-13 and still funny, because the bleeping stuff never gets old to me, because you're not expecting it nowadays. Just about everything goes on television. So when something gets bleeped out, it cracks me up, because it's usually so mundane and unnecessary. So, but Deadpool starts it, and then you've got X-Men Apocalypse, 2017 Wolverine 3. Is that it for the X-Men? X-Men, and then in 2018 is the next one.
Whenever they throw Gambit in there.
Yeah. But so, I think X-Men, do you think Fox may have learned a lesson with X-Men? Just like, all right, let the creative people deal with the X-Men creatively.
Yes, I definitely think that, because it's kind of like, you know, let Bryan Singer do what he wants. He obviously knows what he's doing with these movies. Because that, every time I think about the third one, I'm not only mad at how the movie turned out, I'm mad at how the movie could have been. Because that was supposed to be the Phoenix Saga. And they built toward that, and that was the whole plan. And it was like, it was going to be fit the comics, had the Hellfire Club, and it was going to be an awesome, like, you know, world destroying type movie. And it's like, Brett Ratner is like, no, nah, I'm going to get an internet meme and throw it in there because it's going to be cheap.
Yeah. Well, I've even heard, though, he was just given that script and said, this is what you're filming. And a lot of people will bash Brett Ratner for that movie, but he came in at the last minute. He couldn't do any script touch-ups. It was, this is the movie you're making, go make it. That doesn't forgive, like, the continuity gaffes, the poor acting, the internet meme, all that stuff.
But yeah, I will give him slack for that, because it's kind of hard when somebody gives you, you know, a bunch of ingredients you're not used to and say, go cook this up. You can't change anything, and exactly. You need 5 minutes.
Yeah, so. Here's a loaf of bread and a stick of butter. Give me ice cream. Like, yeah. So now, I never say X-Men 3 is a good movie. I just don't place all the blame on one guy. That's everything. And just them being cheap, basically. And cheap and interfering. But I just wonder... Like, I was reading now that this next X-Men movie is going to center around the love affair between Magneto and Mystique. You know, getting the two big Hollywood people in front of the camera.
That makes sense.
Well, but it didn't really, because what happened to the romance with Hank/Beast in her?
See, I was going to say it makes sense from a star standpoint, not a story standpoint. Because originally, they were talking about making it between, like, you know, Beast and Mystique. Yeah. That's the first thing I heard about that. And I guess it's kind of like, well, you know, you got people. Unless you saw Warm Bodies, who knows Nicholas Holt? Except for he used to date Jennifer Lawrence. Or you got Michael Fassbender.
That's the guy okay. I have been trying to figure out where I had seen the guy that played Beast. He's the dude in Warm Bodies. Jesus. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm usually pretty good at that stuff, but not in this guy's case. Yeah, all right.
Movies are like that. I was still gobsmacked when I watched 300 and Mola's Michael Fassbender was in it.
Yeah, you pointed that one out to me, too.
After watching it 50 times, and it's like, he had some of the funniest lines in the movie. And how do you not, you know, it's like, once somebody says something, I'm like, yeah. How do you not know this? So it's funny how movies are like that.
Trying to think of, I think that's it. Fassbender was 300. There was somebody else that was in one of these movies that it just threw me for a loop. But so apparently, X-Men Apocalypse takes place in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to work? Because, well, I mean, I guess they have a blank slate now. Everybody's alive in the future.
You can recast Storm and Cyclops and Jean if you want to. And I think that's one of the reasons they went the reboot route. It's kind of like, you know, they're getting kind of, even during that age, they're getting kind of old.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
well, I'm... I'm trying to figure out where they go forward with the X-Men movies after this. I suppose you could just do a whole reboot and just do X-Men Second Class, and that's when you reintroduce everybody. Sounds kind of dumb.
Yeah. I mean, whatever they do, my whole thing with the X, my biggest issue with the X-Men movies is it's two parts. One, the X-Men was supposed to be about, you know, diversity and unity against prejudice, and it basically turned into the Wolverine show. You know,
yeah.
Wolverine and everybody else. And I get Wolverine is popular, but it's kind of like, you know, I see enough comic movie with a bunch of white guys doing that. You going to turn the X-Men into that? Like, fine. The second problem I had is how did this Fast and Loose with the characters? Like, they pick characters based on what would be cool to film on, what powers would be cool to film in a movie, or might be easy to translate in a movie, not necessarily what fits the story. And they did that with Rogue, and they did that with most of the characters. Like, Rogue just stands out more than anything. It's kind of like, you know, her being super strong and flying invincible, like, can you really... Okay, it's like, she's female Superman. Can you film that? Man, I guess I can't film that in, like, 99 or 2000. But I can do the energy thing here. So let's turn her into Kitty Pryde.
Oh, okay.
Which fits until you bring Kitty Pryde in 2 weeks later. Then it's kind of like... And that's the reason why they cut Rogue out of Days of Futures Past. Because they had that scene. And at least I give him credit because the reason why it makes sense, he's kind of like, I had a scene where we rescue Rogue and bring her in. But then she saves Kitty when Kitty gets stabbed by Wolverine. But if you go that route, that kind of takes, you know, a lot of suspense out of that part.
See, I haven't seen that deleted scene yet. Because she's in Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they said it wasn't crucial to the story. It's like, oh. But no, but you're exactly right. And when I first saw X-Men, I was like, that's not... Why is Rogue so young?
Yeah.
And then, but you're right. I never figured out why they did this stuff with Rogue, but I guess back then that's what it could have looked like, was just... Because she actually originally took, what was it, Miss Marvel's powers?
Yeah. Like, Rogue was the badass in the comic books, but it's kind of... How they did the whole thing is just kind of, you know, some people part of the team here, and they just mess around with the time frame. It got worse with, you know, with that Wolverine Origins movie.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you know, Emma Frost is Silver Fox's sister that's a teenager, and... Yeah. I don't even want to talk about that movie.
Well, yeah, but now Emma Frost is back in the 60s, which they kind of forgot about her in the new movie. And then they killed off Banshee, Pixie, or whatever who she was supposed to be. And then Alex Summers is still running around in Vietnam somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if X-Men Days of Future Past made a mistake, it was killing off those guys. Unless they come out with some sort of resurrection thing, which I don't think they should be doing that either.
I think it just came into effect, like, you're going to ask about them when you make the movie, but you have so many. It's like three different casts all fighting for screen time, and the movie's a long movie, but it's like, you don't have time for everybody. Like, you barely see, you know, like Halle Berry. I think she has, what, two lines?
Yeah, she was barely in the new one, yeah.
No, like, you've got... The stuff happening in the future with Colossus and Kitty Pryde and Iceman, then you throwing in Sunspot and Warpath and Bishop and Blink. Then you got all the stuff that's happening in, like, you know, the 70s with Wolverine and all. Like, you got a lot of people fighting for screen time.
Yeah, it took getting to the future and the apocalypse for there to be any diversity.
And they all die.
Yeah. And every one of them gets bumped off. And the white guy's the one that gets pushed back into the past to fix it all. It's kind of funny, actually.
I mean, I feel like this way. They'll be fine as long as Hugh Jackman feels like doing that diet until he gets too old to do it.
Well, he even said he's only got, one or two of these left in him. And I'm like, what else are you going to go do? So just shut up.
Work out
your torso and make the movies.
It's kind of hard to look like that once you hit your 50s. And I will say this about Hugh Jackman. He's one of the few, like, you know, everyone has a list. Like, I'll see a movie if he's in it, and I don't care about the script. For me, he's on that list. And, like, he's done enough other stuff where he's made enough money off more. Like, I don't need to do Wolverine anymore. Like, people can call me Wolverine all they want, but I can do something else and be fine. It's not like, you know, Chris. He's not like Chris Evans.
Right. Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of other Hugh Jackman movies I'd want to see. I don't like musicals, so there's no way I've seen Les Mis.
Okay, Prisoners. I saw that was a good movie. That's a dark movie to watch in a movie theater.
Oh, Prisoners?
Yes.
I haven't seen that. That looked really fucking depressing. Sorry, but it just looked awful.
It's a good movie, but we made the mistake of going to a movie theater seeing that, and it's a good movie, but that is a damn depressing ass movie to see in a movie theater full of people.
Yeah.
So, but he was awesome in that. I like Real Steel way more than I should have.
I knew you were going to say that.
So bad.
I was actually about to call that Robot Jocks. And then you said Real Steel. I was like, oh, that's right. That's the name of that movie. Elise loved that movie.
It's just...
And I think that's when we started having relationship problems.
It's just something about, like, he's likable. And he...
Right.
That's he just said, like, you know, I loved him in Prestige. That was all, you know.
Yes, that's just a good ass movie all around.
So
he's been in other stuff, but I don't know if there's any real actors I trust anymore. I don't know.
It's a few, but like I say, you know, it's a small list, and it gets smaller because of comic books. Basically, it's like, you know, it used to be a star-driven business. Now it's a franchise-driven business.
Right, yeah.
And I can take the power out of. And it's sad because the old guards are making great movies, but nobody cares. Like, I know this is kind of off topic. Did you see Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise?
No, I do say it's on demand, though. I've
go see that movie. It is such a shame that movie wasn't more so, because that movie is just awesome.
Well, that's part of the problem. We actually talked about this. Part of the problem was Tom Cruise's failures with, like, his sci-fi movies before that.
It's funny. His movies still make a lot of money overseas, and that one made money overseas. You know what the bigger problem with that movie was? They didn't know how to market it. It changed his name. Like, the Blu-ray name is different than the theater name. Like, if you buy the Blu-ray, it's called Live, Die, Repeat. And then on the side, it says Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh.
They couldn't figure out how to market the movie. Like, it went from all you need is kill. And it's like, well, we can't use kill word. They kind of cut a certain, you know, stigma. So they call it Edge of Tomorrow. And then the Blu-ray, it's not called Edge of Tomorrow anymore. But go see that movie. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, well, I know it's on demand now. So that's with the way the weather's going. Well, actually, there's a bunch of stuff coming out in theaters that I still haven't gone to see, which I was going to go see Interstellar today. But we'll figure that one out. Because she wants to see Dumb and Dumber this weekend.
Yeah. And
I don't know. But anyways, the X-Men world is ripe with possibilities for not just sequels, but just you've got X-Force, X-Factor, I don't know, New Mutants, Generation X. You've got all these different characters, teams, stories you can do. But... doesn't that kind of run the risk of burning out the market, though?
If it's done correctly, then no. If you do it the Marvel way, and it's kind of like you build a little, you get stories. If you build a good story, people go see it. People saw Thor, and Thor is funny as hell. Who the hell thought that, you know, Thor would be a global blockbuster? It's Thor.
Yeah.
So you can do those movies if they build it well. And it just depends on the characters and if you give it space to breathe. I'm just always mad, like, out of the character. Like, when the hell is Psylocke going to be in the X-Men movie?
She was never an interesting character to me. I was like, all right, wait, she's Asian? Wait, then she's a white chick with curly hair? Like, what's going on with her?
It's just she was British and they switched her body with a, you know, a Japanese ninja. And... first of all, even like the story's convoluted as can be, but if people talk about eye candy in movies, maybe it's just hard to find, like, you know, a 5'9" Asian chick built like Kim Kardashian that knows karate. Maybe that's almost, you know, because Maggie Q's too thin. Maybe that's the problem. Like, who did, I think they tried to, they had some throwaway person like that Last Stand movie that's supposed to be solid. Like, I don't know if she might be in the movie. I didn't make the credits. Yeah.
That was that's her. Right. Her name did appear, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the director didn't even know. He's like, well, I didn't call her that. Maybe the somebody from Fox did that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know like the X movies have been ripe with little Easter eggs because they mentioned Sam and Paige Guthrie, you know, Husk and Cannonball.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost seems like with the success of X-Men, the First Class, a younger version of the X-Men, not a young Cyclops, but you can take, like, you can have Paige and Sam in there. Who else is some younger ones? X-23, Wolverine's daughter, if you want. You know, you don't, I think with the other X-Men movies, you don't have to stick with, like, one specific team. You can make your own teams and call it, you know, here's X-Force, whatever.
You know the problem, and it's not even, it's a comic book thing. Think about all the comic movies that's been out. Like the most recent one, like character made, is Wolverine, and he came out in the '70s. That's like, you know, the movie sent around. Everybody else is like 50 to 90 years old. You comics have been coming out since then.
Yeah.
But it's like they just stopped, like, you know, you don't think of like anything that came after.
Well, in the world of comics, it's almost impossible to get somebody to latch on to a new character.
Yeah, like, I mean, especially, like, I guess that kind of stopped in the 90s with Image. Like, you know, Spawn was new. Spawn got hot for a few years, and then it just, you know.
All of those Image guys were hot immediately. But my theory with that's always been they had no idea how to do everything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ate them. Because there was Wetworks, it was Will. I don't know. I think it's Will Prestacio or something like that. I don't know his name. He had like 5 issues of Wetworks, and then it disappeared. I mean, Spawn was written and drawn for a long time. Wildcats was out for 12, 15 issues. Then Jim Lee fell off the face of the earth. You know, I always thought those guys knew what they wanted to do, but didn't understand what went into it. And that's why all that stuff faded away.
Sounds like wrestling.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so, but I think that people just run into that. Like, you know, you just have a bunch of old stuff, and it's kind of like, you know, and I don't want to take the PC route, but it's been said enough times, comic movies turn to, you know, a bunch of white guys named Chris saving the world with sidekicks. They made a joke, and no, Marvel made a joke talking about we got Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pratt. We got the Chris's.
Oh my God, I never thought of that.
Yeah, like somebody made a joke about that. Like almost every hero is like a white guy, either a white blonde or, you know, a white brunette. And DC is kind of, you know, the same way. Oh, we can't do a Wonder Woman movie. We can't do you know, Black Widow movie. We can't do a black movie. You know. I know Blade came out. We've talked about this enough time. Yeah, and it's kind of like you can't. And Fox runs that problem with X-Men. Like you said, it's a million stories you can tell, but they always turn into, you know, the white guy show. Like Wolverine's going to save the day from the evil Magneto, and Professor X going to try to calm everybody the hell down when he's not getting drunk.
I'm trying to think of a good. Well, all right. Storm is a good. Right, I'm just going to use the word minority. Let's put it that way. Just a good minority character that never got any do in those X-Men movies, even though they had like a big name actress for it. I'm trying to think of like other X-Men was never a huge cup of tea, especially recently, because it's like most Marvel comics, they're impossible to follow. I don't know of any other no minority characters.
Storm and Bishop. Because, like, it was Storm from the 70s, and then Bishop was like, it's amazing how many people like him. I never liked him, because I'm like,
no.
I would have blew Jerry Curl, but I know a lot of people that, like, Bishop was badass, and it was either from the comic book or the cartoon.
What did Bishop do?
He
had a gun.
And he absorbed energy. Yeah, he had a gun. He came from the future, and he had a blue Jerry Curl. I've never seen a black man with a blue Jerry Curl before, and I've seen many type of hairstyles. So with a white sister, you gonna talk? Maybe that's where Fantastic Four got that from.
Okay, I clearly don't know anything about Bishop. Then I had no idea he had relatives or whatever.
Yes, had a sister that died and came back as a hologram, and she was blonde with blue eyes.
That's awesome.
So it was the future. So
the future sounds like a great place.
Well, we had that hour mark.
Yeah. Yes. I know. We were, but that. Yeah. We started a whole different conversation too. Damn it! But I got to remember where we were. Diversity in comics with new characters, at least. If anyone's going to bitch about the old days, like, well, they're all, we have to create new characters that are more diverse culturally, sex-wise, whatever. Well, yeah, because in the back in the 50s and 60s when everything was created, it wasn't like it was today.
Yeah, so, they wouldn't let them do that. Like, if somebody say, you know, you can't have a black superhero, who will follow that? Like, I don't really blame somebody in the 40s for not, you know, not having diversity. Like, we couldn't even vote back then, so that's fine. But listen, if now, like, yeah, don't get mad. People get mad because now the new Captain Marvel, she's Muslim. They're like, I can't have no
Captain. Okay, I was wrong about that. That's Marvel Girl. That's not Captain Marvel. That's Marvel Girl.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that was an established character or not, but that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, it... Yeah, we're at the hour mark. God damn it. Just exactly what happened with Kevin and I.
Yeah.
Moving right along, we hit that mark, and... But yeah, no, it's... Diversity in comics is necessary if it's going to be an accurate reflection of how things are. That's just how it is. But I don't know. There's, honestly, you probably know this way better than I do, but people are just stuck in those...
People running the movies is like a bunch of old white guys. It's kind of like, don't make me change that. Like, you're going to take my comic about my dead hand, like the Charlton Heston. Like, I don't take away what I grew up with. They're afraid to change, and it's kind of like they're going to stick to what they know until they die out. And it's like a new generation, kind of like, all right, we got to start this shit over.
Yeah, with that, I'm still sticking with they need to make new characters, not change the old ones. Or do it organically. Like they did with Green Arrow, it became his son. And I know it's like one white guy for another, but even Green Lantern, Hal Jordan went crazy, Kyle Rayner took over. You were progressing towards the future, changing things. And now you've got the Black Captain America, which, from what I've read, I don't like where they're going with it, actually. Just...
I saw a cover. I didn't know if it was going to be satire or not. Like, he's in the hood with two kids cheering him on. Like,
well,
don't... If you want to do it, don't be so heavy.
Yo, I was going to say, that's fucking racist. I mean...
Your dog is Captain America. I'm like, no! Yeah. No!
Like, where's the guy in the corner? He's like, yo, like the guy from Superman?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, some guy just like, yo, blood.
It's a fly-ass outfit.
Yeah, excuse me. Look at that outfit. It's like, oh, my God.
They still think we just talk like it's 1978. Maybe that's the last time they met a black person. I don't know what it is, but.
That's not what this was. It was all of a sudden, I don't remember Sam. For those who don't know, and yeah, I know we're going to wrap up. For those who don't know, Sam Falcon took over for Steve Rogers because, again, Steve Rogers' super serum wore off suddenly. Whatever. But they've made him like very, almost like fascist and very violent.
Well, he used to be a pimp, so, or something like that. He used to do something back in the day.
Yeah, but as Falcon, he was heroic. And now that he's Captain America, all of a sudden, it's all about just beating the hell out of anybody who disagrees with him.
You know, that sound like Captain America, M-U-R-I-C-A.
So wait a minute, are they making him like Captain Fox News? Like they're just trying to turn on everybody's head?
That would be so hilarious.
You know, God, what a great idea that would be. That would totally fuck with everybody. You know how great that'd be? But yeah,
like, if you complain, it's like, oh, you think black, like every black person's a liberal? Stop being a bigot. Perfect.
Oh, boy, what a fuck that would be. What a total mind screw that would be. He just gets up there and, like, he's up there, like, stumping for, like, Alan Keyes or, who's the other guy? Who's the other black politician? Black Republican.
It's Keyes and who else?
There's a guy from South Carolina, Tim Scott, but that's not who I'm talking about. The old dude.
Herman Cain?
That's it.
Yeah, Mr. Pizza Man.
But, because, you know, everyone's up in arms. Not everyone, but people were genuinely upset because Captain America was going to be black. But how funny would it be if he was just this far-right conservative all of a sudden? And, you know, like, there's two gay guys, like, oh, you're here to fight for our freedoms. Like, no, son, read a Bible. No.
I've been seeing him now just hating on Thor, like, we don't need them type of immigrants on the Avengers.
Yeah. Or he goes to the border, and he wrecks, just with his super strength. Well, actually, he doesn't have super strength. Whatever the Falcon can do, he's out there helping put up a more solidified fence. I would never stop reading that comic just because of how absurd that would be.
I can see it now, and I know that, like, Glenn Beck's favorite comic book character. This is a Captain America I can get behind.
I was gonna say, now is that a Captain America movie you go watch? That's something I go watch.
Oh, I watch it just for the hilarity.
I don't know if you'd be welcome, but you'd go watch it.
I can put on a trucker hat and a shirt with, like, an eagle with boxing gloves, machine gun, and, like, America, and that I fit in.
And all of a sudden you just feel that hand on your shoulder in the theater. You're one of the good ones, son.
Okay,
yep, on that note, we're at 1:10, so I don't know if we even got a new Earth the X-Men, but the end sure was fun. So we'll talk about either Marvel, Sony, or DC next time. DC's actually got a lot going on now with their TV universe, so... you can follow us on Twitter. It's Stunt Granny, or whatever. The email is stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can find us on any of the social media. It's Stunt Granny. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, look for Stunt Granny, in case you haven't figured this out yet.
One more time, you might not have heard.
Yeah, if you put in Stunt Granny, all of the shows you'll be subscribed to. So it makes it pretty easy. And then you can just delete the ones you don't like, because it's pretty simple. So we'll be back next week. And there we go. So I'll let Shahid take us out. And thanks for listening, guys.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Remember, if it's all white, it's all right. And we are out.